Scott.
Hey, I'm here.
The Gilbert Doctorow, you know who he is?
Wait, who? What?
Gilbert Doctorow.
Yeah, he's my man.
I had him on yesterday. While we were talking, he's doing, Trump Dutton, and Trump's going to, we got, hope for Trump and whatever, but if they keep, and they're going to push, and Putin will react, and, you need to get your bunker taken care of, and he's got nukes, and you better not be a butthead. And while we're talking, they're missiling Syria.
Yeah.
And I'm going, I'm telling him, I'm going, I don't think you get it, man. These guys, Trump's not in charge. He just gave more power to field commanders to do whatever. The CIA can go drone. Don't bother me with the paperwork. And it's just, this is not going to go the way you think. Well, he wrote an article, sent Donna a response saying, hey, man, this is what the hell. While we were talking, this happened, and he did this, and this is going on. And he wrote an article in Russia Insider, talking about it. Regrettably, while we were a-talking, Mr. Trump and the neocon Democrat hawks were a-bombing. Yesterday's U.S. Tomahawk missile attack on the Syrian air base was a game-changer. This is a challenge to the Russians that they cannot grin and bear. In a nutshell, it is time for us all to re-examine what we have been doing to fight for sanity and see if there is not some way to come together in a politically meaningful way. I am perhaps lacking in imagination, but if this isn't the time for a march on Washington, what time will be? Wait, and we will all be swept away by a wave of patriotic hysteria when the Russians respond to our dueling challenge, which they will. So then, that's what he said, Don, and then he wrote this article. But it was based on, my conversation with him. I'm going, I don't think you... you think these guys have any logic or reason, or you know what it is? I mean, this is a fascist takeover of the planet. This is good, more war, more food for my family. And here we go. Then we have this Teneo thing is starting to go in and take over inside the White House. So we had an article up on that. And, Zero Hedge did a thing on this coup getting Bannon out. But I got an article up there, one of the guys here that knows some people that knows. Spectre in the White House. Well, like James Bond Spectre kind of stuff. Teneo and Goldman Sachs. You know who Teneo is? You got history on that?
No.
Teneo was out of the WikiLeaks papers where you had the Clinton Foundation were going to go public with a company, but when Hillary lost, they put that on hold. I bet they still do it. But the only thing that the company did was sold Clinton infrastructure access to government. Got a problem with the Department of Justice? Not a problem. Alibaba, Dow Chemical, Saudi Arabia. I mean, this kind of crap, right? So they come in, and Teneo, head guy, the CEO, and the president of Teneo got all kinds of contacts with people inside. Now, Dina Habib-Powell, the new Trump deputy national security advisor, is married to Richard Powell, the president of Teneo Holdings. Declan Kelly, the CEO of Teneo, is the brother of a member of parliament in Ireland and the European Parliament. Okay. And that guy, Kelly, is married to a Russian wife whose mother is part of, yada, yada, yada. I mean, it's just, and this is what's invading and getting at the top, foreign policy levels of the Trump administration. And when they pushed out Steve Bannon, so there went the conservative whatever. All right, here we go.
Network. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, I'm here. I'm writing down something there's a clip I want to get. I'm going, yeah, that'd be good to come back with. We're going to do that. Scott Horton.org. Scott Horton, what are we going to talk about? Anti-war radio, gentlemen. What's going on with North Korea? All right, U.S. bombing in Syria, Russia and U.S. relations, Chinese President Xi Jinping, however you say his name, is meeting with Trump, okay, or met with Trump. Now, what happened is all of a sudden now we're bombing Syria, and you're going, China's coming over, we're going to talk about dealing with North Korea, right? Right? You think we won't bomb North Korea? I'm taking on Russia and Syria, and we're going to, what do you think? North Korea, this will not stand there saying all kind of doing ballistic missiles. We got laser beams and super hyper, whatever the heck, we're going to go kick ass. What are you going to do, South China? You want to play? Let's play. And do this brinkmanship thing. Bring us to the brink. He who blinks first. And it might be China and Russia just go, we don't need you so much, and we're just going to build Silk Road high-speed rail and just, beat you out in business. Take over Africa, do whatever, create our own central banking of not having central banking, of not your banking. And then what are you going to do? And let the U.S. economy fall as China sells all the debt. They want them to respond. We need a mushroom cloud, damn it, to hide this financial tsunami that be a common. There's weird stuff going on, and you think it was over. It's not over. It's just getting started. So I'm going, all right, so what does Scott have to say about it? Scott, help us out, man.
Well, I'm sorry. Horton's Law says that any bad promise a politician makes, you can take to the bank. And any good one, you can just forget it. I guess it sounds better when you say it the other way around. You can forget any good promise they make, and you can take all the bad ones to the bank. And so with Donald Trump, here's a guy who is avowedly horrible on everything except two things. Regime change in Damascus and continuing this aggressive policy and picking a fight with Russia and Eastern Europe, particularly in Ukraine right now. And there you go. From the very beginning, he's had his UN ambassador, constantly accusing and picking a fight with Russia. He's had his Secretary of State say that the sanctions will not be lifted until Russia gives back Crimea to Ukraine, which is obviously never going to happen. Is obviously just saying from the beginning that there's nothing to negotiate here. And then now with Syria, we're already, as we have been since the summer of 2014, at war in eastern Syria. And Obama, of course, has been backing CIA, or has had the CIA backing these so-called mythical moderates, who are really nothing but the gun runners for the al-Qaeda fighters. And that's been going on really since 2011. Obama almost did what Trump did last night in 2013, except his director of national intelligence and his chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff talked him out of it. And so he didn't do it. And also the British House of Commons said hell no. And also the American people were 90% against it in the polls. The only actual organized force in America that wanted it in 2013 was the American Israel Public Affairs Committee and their affiliates. Nobody else. But now this time, it's kind of different. What happened was, all it took was an incident, and nobody knows exactly what happened there yet. We can get back to that in just a second if you want. But, within days of the so-called sarin attack there in Syria, which has been blamed on Assad.
Yeah, it worked before. We'll just do it again.
We attack them. Yeah. And now what happened, though, what's interesting here, it's worth noting, and I'm not sure, I don't know, Obama had said Assad must go. And now Tillerson, the Secretary of State, is saying Assad must go. But on the other hand, what they did last night, Ernie, was basically what John Kerry had said back in 2013 on the aborted attack of the summer 2013 was, it'll be an unbelievably small pinprick attack. I mean, don't get me wrong, 60 cruise missiles is not nothing. And some people died. I haven't had the reports in yet. I haven't seen the reports in yet from the damage that was done and how many people were killed in it and all of that. But on the other hand, they didn't just launch a full-scale air war to destroy the Syrian army and and regime change Assad and in fact, smash the Baathist government there. That has not happened.
They want to start a war.
Not yet. I mean, I don't think they do want to start a
war. What are they doing?
I think what they want to do is make a statement, basically.
What? You know, for China coming and visiting, and this is what we'll do to North Korea?
I think you're really onto something right there, is that the Chinese president was in town, and they were saying, look at how willing we are to shoot cruise missiles at things, because they're trying to get the Chinese to put all their weight on the North Koreans. And, you know, there's a great article by Ted Carpenter and Cato about how Trump's North Korea policy or with China is all sticks and no carrots. He keeps saying, you know, demanding that the Chinese put all their weight on the North Koreans to get them to behave, but he's not giving them any incentives. He's just kind of creating a situation of ratcheting up tension, which is, I mean, we're talking about Donald Trump here. What are you going to do? Oh. But so listen, and the bottom line here, I think, is that so the neocons win. Who even needs them? Right. Donald Trump is still just he's not even clay, dude. He's Play-Doh in the hands of the national security state, and they can get him to do whatever they want. I mean, you just saw him. I mean, the quote literally, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but just barely was, oh, the children, the little babies, little beautiful little babies, baby babies. Like, he's just a tiny child himself. You know, this is what I told you all this time was that here's his big weakness, even though he's good on a couple of things. He's effing stupid. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't even know where Syria is. He doesn't know anything about anything, which means he's the slave of his handlers. He can't even read an article. He can't even read an article from beginning to end.
Okay,
he's like George W. Bush.
He
has to have it read to him.
Let me tell you my opinion, and you can tell me how far off you think I am on this. The opinion I get, and what I've been screaming from the beginning, is I need to know what America and great means, okay? Make America great. Okay, America, is America in her interest, whatever the hell that is?
It just means give me power. It's a great slogan that makes you feel good. That's all it means.
Well, you can kind of see if you could get that definition, if he even had in his mind, it was just tested well in forums or whatever. But I'm just going, America, is it geography? Is it our borders? Is it culture? Is it people? Is it our interest? You know, well, it's obviously becoming more around the world interest of America. Great.
You know what? The fact that you raise the question the way you raise it, it just goes to show that there is no answer to your question. What you're asking is, what is Donald Trump's vision? And Donald Trump doesn't have a vision other than
He has a primary goal. His main thing was, and great, you know, I need to know, is, you know, is great an economic thing? Is it a military thing? Chest out and how many mushroom clouds we have? Now, let me finish my point. The thing is that I'm going, if great is war and all this footing, I'm not digging it. But I am of the opinion that his primary goal is the bring back and jobs in manufacturing in an age of robots. It is going to be going down. Even if they got great America and all the companies come here and so on, how many jobs we're going to get? It's all about jobs. Jobs, 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 military industrial jobs, or something jobs of jobs. And that, what I believe, is what he's trading on for votes in Congress, on the tax plan, on manufacturing, on reduction of regulation, and he's willing to trade everything else. See, that's my thing. I'm going, what is the logic in his head? Is like, all right, if I can get in a coalition of and do, well, that's why he was pushing this Trump Care thing, or Ryan Care, whatever the hell it was, you know, putting all his political capital in there. Look, Republicans, you better come together. Better come together. If you don't come together, I'm going to have to work with the Democrats. You better come together. You're not coming together? All right, fine. Then we're going to go ahead and open it up and all things on table because I need to get my tax and regulation thing in. Well, I don't know what he thinks he's doing and what game he's playing, but with the Teneo Group, which is the Clinton Foundation, which is the Clinton's infrastructure, which is the fascist of blah, 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 and he's going, yep, and here we go. For what? The only thing I can think is that from the beginning, him doing about, you know, jobs in America. Well, one thing he's not taking into consideration is how rapidly in his first term as first 4 year administration, there is going to be an invasion of body snatching off the line and having robots. Oh, I got to tell you this one. This is good. There was a article up and it had, 80% of government jobs could be replaced with robots. And then a friend of mine from Missouri listens. He goes, no. He goes, 80% of those jobs could be replaced with pictures of robots. And I'm going, this is how things are going to be happening, not just a government, but, Wendy's teller ATM robot make me a salad crap, And I don't know, and all this minimum wage stuff going on, there is major upheaval coming. And this is going to be like the Industrial Revolution of before and all the same issues, but we're going to be in an enormous amount of debt, and the only thing that's going to cure it is us abandoning it, just not being insulated from it. Don't be dependent on it. The only way you can get independent is not be dependent. So this is so what I need from you is I need to understand, like you have China coming in, they do this thing with Syria, and I keep hammering on you, this South China Sea thing, man, you need to get up to speed on that. They are interconnected, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact is, all of China's military policy, all their naval policy is a reaction to the U.S. and American aggression off of their shores.
Well, this hypersonic missile defensive...
The spy planes and the drones and the subs and the ships and all the arms to Taiwan and all the
China just opened up a mass-producing submarine production assembly line facility of we're going to have a crapload of submarines with hypersonic missiles, and we will just take out way over the horizon whatever aircraft carrier you send. Kind of, you better get some uber-duber super-ion cannon space weapon, whatever the hell, because, you think you're going to choke off our trade routes and go play, and we just build our own islands. Oh, you don't like that? We'll just take out your entire surface fleet. So I'm just, this is not going to go well. I don't know what the hell Trump, it's a brinkmanship thing. So I'm, all right, but when we come back, you can help me out, man.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. 2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, man! The news is getting more and more interesting as we go on, is it not? And I want to get out my opinion. There is something going on. Scott Horton, man, give me the narrative of what you think happens next in this Syria thing. I don't think people really thought that he was going to do over 50 Tomahawk cruise missiles that can be armed and with all kinds of crap. And they were going after what, Scott? I mean, I'm better off and safer because of what?
Well, none of that. I mean, they just hit Syrian military, arms depots and this kind of thing. Command and control and supply and that kind of deal. I don't know all the exact details, but I mean, what's going on here is this is all about Israel, man. The fact is, see, it's like this. And we've talked about this many times, but basically the way it lines up is you have the Sunni Arab axis led by, well, never mind Arab, just the Sunni axis in the Middle East led by Saudi Arabia and what's called the Gulf Cooperation Council. That's all the sock puppet kings and emirs of Kuwait, Oman, UAE, Bahrain, etc., right? In Egypt, Turkey, and Israel. Then on the other side, you have Iran, Iraq, because of George W. Bush and his stupid war, the government of Syria, and Hezbollah, the little Shiite mini-state in southern Lebanon. And they are what the Sunni side call the Shiite Crescent, the axis of evil, right? So what's going on here is there's a giant sectarian war, and the Israelis, basically, Israel and Saudi, our two closest quote-unquote allies in the Middle East, they have a unique interest, both of them, in trying to limit Iran. And then especially as I'm always trying to emphasize, because I think it's the most important thing, because of George W. Bush's massive own goal in getting rid of Saddam for Iran, the Sunni minority dictator of Iraq and his party, and turning that country, fighting a whole civil war for 8 years on behalf of the Shiite side to give them the capital city and create this new Shiite stand from Baghdad down to Kuwait and Iran. There's no way to reverse that. So all they could do is try to take a consolation prize by turning and focusing on Assad. And so ever since really 2006, this has been George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and now Donald Trump's policy, is that America backs the Sunni jihadist terrorists, the Saudi-backed al-Qaeda shock troops in the so-called revolutions in Libya and in Syria, and has since the Arab Spring broke out in 2011. And so the reason for all of this, you know, the bottom line over all of this is Iran backs Hezbollah and Syria helps them do it. And Israel hates Hezbollah. And so that's it. So that's why Americans fight. That's why Americans have to, you know, maybe even if this thing escalates, which it will escalate, what's the Russians are just going to sit here and take this? Vladimir Putin, somebody said on Twitter last night, I sure hope that Vladimir Putin turns into a cuck overnight. Because if he doesn't just bend over and take this, then what? Then he has to do something back.
Yeah, but he can be creative. There is a lot of other – they want him to react militarily. They need him to react. And if I was Putin, I'd be going, okay, flip the switch, man. We're going to gold back whatever. We're doing trade deals with so-and-so. We're helping the base of whatever. I mean, you guys want to play, let's play. But they're obligated to help defend Assad's. I mean, they got some kind of a mutual semi-relationship NATO thing or something, you know, I would imagine. Fortunately, probably there's a Michael Snyder wrote an article, Donald Trump has just committed the United States to a disastrous war in Syria. It's up on top of Freedom's Phoenix. Unfortunately for all of us, military contingents, like you said, from Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah are mixed in among the Syrian forces. And so any strike on the Syrian military could potentially spark World War III.
That's right. And look, we are 100 years yesterday. 100 years yesterday from American entry into World War I.
Yep.
And I don't know. I guess
same
we don't have
thing.
Time before this break. Ask me in the next segment about World War I then.
But the point
should suffice here that was a giant, big, stupid mistake that no one meant to have that war that killed 40 million people, whatever it was, and was, as William S. Lynn says, Western civilization blew its brains out. That was the end. That was the suicide. Everything since then is just the death throes, like Chef on South Park down at the bottom of the cliff twitching. and the deal is so – it didn't have to happen. It was a big, stupid mistake. And that's the kind of thing that most people can't get their head around, the idea that the worst thing that could ever be imagined, the entire world at war, tens and tens and tens of millions of people being exterminated, that it's so inconceivable, it seems impossible.
No,
but the truth
this is what
that these things can happen. They can
regularly
get out of
happen. They happen all the time.
But look, what happens all the time is stuff like picking on the Iraqis and picking on the Afghans, right? Nobody wants to get into a war with Russia, but we could anyway.
We had two world wars last century, two, and then a Cold War, so might as well have been three. You know, and now we got to start off this century and got, you know, same. It's like a time schedule they got to keep or something. And it's to ratchet it towards what? It's not benefit us. I can guarantee it's not for freedom. It's not for, you know, democracy or the heck they mean by that. Tillerson warns Russia coalition steps are underway to remove Assad. We just got this up top of the page. Specifically, Tillerson said that steps are underway to remove Syrian President Bashar al-Assad and that the U.S. is considering an appropriate response to the Syrian government's alleged use of chemical weapons. The process by which Assad would leave is something that requires an international community effort, both to first defeat ISIS within Syria, to stabilize the country, to avoid further civil war, and then to work collectively with our partners around the world through a political process that would lead to Assad leaving. leaving. Tillerson said at a news conference in Palm Beach, Florida. So they're still going, Assad's got to go. This is all about Assad going because of Assad. And I'm going, why? I mean, what the hell? To be replaced with what?
Right. I mean, that's the whole thing. I don't know this for a scientific fact. It's still just speculation. But my best understanding is that no real experts believe that the Ba'ath government in Damascus could survive the fall of Assad, that the government then at that point would unravel. And then I got news for you, Ernie. I think you already know how it goes.
It's going right
the
back like a rock.
The only organized force to replace him is Al-Qaeda or the Islamic State.
It's going to be a rock all over again, you know? And, you know, we're still in Afghanistan. They want to expand it to Syria. For what? There is what the hell? And this have something to do with the European Union working a deal with, finally, with Russia to supply them with natural gas and oil, some pipeline deal they just did in the last couple of weeks. You think this isn't intertwined with that as they're trying to get through Syria, the oil pipeline they want to go from, you know, the Persian Gulf up into Europe? You know, this is all part of it's oil. You know what? Build a couple of more gigafactories and we're solar and off. What happens then? Well, they better hurry up and do whatever they're going to do now, or they're just going to be irrelevant and technology will bypass the need for government and a lot of other things. I mean, seriously, nobody's taking that seriously.
I think that's a great point. In fact, I have a friend who, I don't know all the details of this, but I know a guy who knows a guy who's got some great new technology for sucking all the methane out of the city dumps of the country. And that, you know, like a workable plan, a cost-effective way to suck up that methane and use it. And this is the kind of thing that just, it's unlimited free energy. Every county in this country has a dump, right? I mean.
Now, there's tons of this.
And there's
stuff.
A million of them that we haven't even thought of yet.
Yeah, there's tons of this. I mean, you know, I sit here and watch. I have a close friend that is a refueling guy out at the nuclear power plant, Palo Verde. He lives like 10 miles from the plant, and it's been almost 15 years, and he has no lines. He has his own septic, his own well. He uses satellite communication, cell phone. He has finally he got a microwave kind of internet, you know, higher speed thing other than the satellite. And then he has his own windmill, backup diesel, and solar. And it's just, he's been for a decade and a half. I know it can be. I see it all the time. The only reason.
Hey, give me a minute, all right? I'll be right back.
All right.
And it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101reasonsfilm.com. 101reasonsfilm.com.
There's no better app for tracking the value of crypto.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with a chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
Everybody wants to rule the world. Everybody. I vote. Man, not so much. Syria strikes. International community reacts to U.S. bombing of airfield. Well, the international community, what do they have to say? Statement from Israeli Prime Minister. In both word and action, President Trump sent a strong and clear message today that the use and spread of chemical weapons will not be tolerated. Did Assad been? Why? What? Okay. What's the narrative? I didn't even look. I don't care. But what's the narrative, Scott, on why Assad would use chemical weapons in this particular area to do this particular thing to create this particular image of particular?
Well, why? I mean, that's the whole joke, right? Is there's no narrative about it that makes any sense whatsoever other than, oh, he just likes killing his own people because of what an own people killer he is. It makes no sense whatsoever. In fact, the closest thing I saw to some spin about this was my friend Nancy Youssef, now reporting for BuzzFeed, wrote that her Pentagon sources said that, well, now that Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, had announced that we're no longer seeking regime change in Syria and that Assad can stay, that he picked this time to test Donald Trump to see how much he could get away with. Well, that is the dumbest damn thing I have ever heard in my life. That is the opposite of makes sense at all. Now, it's true that sometimes people are stupid and do stupid, horrible things that are contrary to their own interests. I mean, Hitler declared war on the United States, for God's sake. What an idiot, right? So evil and stupid, hey, a lot of times they go together. And yet, does it make any sense at all that Bashar al-Assad, whose government had just, and you can read it, well, anyway, look it up, Al-Qaeda, let me go back a couple of weeks. Al-Qaeda had made some pretty big gains against the Syrian Arab Army in the last few weeks. But then, that's the Assad government's military, but then the Syrian Arab Army turned the tide on their asses and killed thousands of them and drove them back and were just winning with, of course, Russian air support. And so then at the end of that, they drop one chemical bomb on a bunch of civilians just to kill a bunch of civilians.
Yeah, what was the...
Just for sadism's sake.
Yeah,
right at the point when they're on the eve, it's the next day or 2 days later, there's supposed to be a giant new negotiation beginning in Europe where you have the Qataris representing Al-Qaeda and you have the Turks and the Russians and the Syrian government and everybody coming together to try to figure something out here. The only... Now, this is not conclusive, okay? This is only just Occam's razor. It's a clue. It's just a good place to start. The people who have the most motive to do this or to take an event and make it seem as though something had happened different than what did happen would be Al-Qaeda and or their allies in Turkey, which is exactly what happened in the summer of 2013 when the Turks gave Al-Qaeda poison gas and Al-Qaeda used it on some citizens, some civilians in eastern in Ghouta, a neighborhood in eastern Damascus, and then they tried to frame the Assad government. That's what almost led to the war in 2013, was later completely debunked by Seymour Hersh. But we know that there were even at least a handful of CIA analysts who were prepared to resign rather than assert that Assad had done that at the time back then. So there's a real precedent for faking this kind of thing because this is the so-called red line. And then look how well it worked on Donald Trump. Oh, the babies, the little babies. And he launches a war.
Yeah, that is, and here you can see in a lot of these articles, certainly, where are you going to see it? New York Times. Oh, New York Times. Yeah, we need, you know, Trump, he was so distraught, you know, that he would do it.
Yeah, I just saw this. I just saw the headline that it was his heart. His heart, here it is. On Syria attack, Trump's heart came first, says the New York Times. That's the headline at the New York Times.
Yeah.
Retweet. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And now, of course, he said, you know, I remember in the article, he's talking to President Obama, you know, do not attack Syria, Mr. Trump said on Twitter in September 13. There is no upside and tremendous downside. Save your powder for another and more important day. Okay. Well, is that today? Yesterday today? Was that today? Why? You know, why? I see, this is why I always throw my hand up really high and go, am I allowed not to care about what happens halfway around the world? I'm just, why are we so involved in this?
And well, I mean, that's a really important paradox that we have here, right? I mean, this is why we're all here, right? Because our grandparents, great-grandparents, and great-great-great-grandparents, mostly, except blacks, their ancestors were enslaved. But pretty much everybody else, their families escaped from wherever they were from in order to come here so that they could mind their own damn business and be free and work hard and keep the money that they earn and leave the rest of the world to its hellacious history. This is the way it is. And so this is the attitude that a lot of American people have. A lot of Americans never leave their home county. And why should they? They don't care about anything except themselves and their family. And why should they? That's why they're here, so they could be free, for God's sake. But then you see the result of that in a way that it's a double-edged sword, because what it means is we're so free that we're so productive that our government can afford to be the world empire that slaughters foreigners all day, here, there, sometimes fighting for Al-Qaeda, sometimes fighting against Al-Qaeda for decades and decades on end, overthrowing governments that were then the new fascist dictator murders 100,000 people or more or whatever, happens over and over and over again. Civil wars, almost all of the worst violence in the world is caused by the American empire. So, yes, you have to care. It's not that you're responsible necessarily, like I pin it on you, but if you ask yourself, like, I mean, that's why you do what you do, Ernie, right? Is because we're trying to take the responsibility ourselves to make this a better world.
Uncovering
by first
the
and
secrets
foremost,
and
stopping
exposing
our government
lies
from doing its worst stuff.
I'm just tired of being lied to from the beginning, you know, as a young parent starting to see what was what. And look, I'm going, wow, I am saturated with bullshit. Saturated. Overwhelming. Tidal wave. Tsunamis of. And how do you parse this out? That's been my thing from the beginning. I mean, it used to be I had an email I just sent to friends, and it just grew. And then with the radio show, and it grew. And then Freedom's Phoenix, it grew. So there are people that have been following my stuff for almost, God, at least 25 years, just a perspective of uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. I just don't want to be BS'd anymore. And this Syrian thing is a big, giant, oh my God, history books are going to show lie that got us into, are you freaking kidding me? And yesterday when I had Gilbert Dacoro, gentleman, he was saying, look, if you guys don't, I don't think you understand. Putin will not, he'll react. He's going to, I go, God, you don't get it. You think that they don't want him to. Hell, they're counting on it. They need it. They'll instigate it. They'll get you to say or do or have an alliance with. And what's the red line? Where is that red line so we can bomb the crap out of it? I go, you think they don't want this to happen? They do. That's why he wrote back to Donna and sent us the article and Russia Insider and all this kind of, you know, because I told him, I said, God, you're operating from the wrong assumption. That Trump is kind of afraid that, you know, Putin might do it. No, hell, he's counting on it. Or somebody is. And now we have Israel. And what does Israel say? Oh, yeah, oh, for the children. Oh, we lay waste to Palestinian children. That's okay. We'll bulldoze their house. But you know, Syrian children, we love them a little bit more. And Trump needs to go getting children. It's so, I'm so saturated with this crap. And I remember, I'm getting that feeling again, and you got to put it. Can we hurry up and just get launch, and we get done with it? So you get rid of all these cap. Everybody can be done with it. No, that's what they want. You assume that they don't want that. They need it. They got their bunker. They're sipping Mai Tais on the beach somewhere. It's they, them, those are in charge. And this, in the first hour, I went through all this Teneo thing. It's just a tip of the iceberg. I give you an idea of how it's working in reality. And they've invaded the Trump White House, the administration. I mean, whatever you thought you elected, it's over. We're going to be collecting a dollar from Dr. Frank Tamburi on Trump Report of within a year, you won't be supporting Trump anymore. It's already happened with Tim Pinchot, that was a big supporter.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
Okay, here we have the New York Times. When is this article? 7th. Yeah, today. And it's a which countries support and which oppose the U.S. missile strikes in Syria. Have you seen that?
No.
Okay, it's a New York Times thing. Just put which countries support, which oppose Syria, you know, strikes or something. And of course, you got them all lined up here saying something about something. They got an opinion. And I'm like, you know, it's I don't know what to do other than just, you know, have you on. We'll bitch about it. But I mean, damn. And then China's kind of sitting this one out, but it's all in, you know, Sweden, of course. They're like, you know, not so much. But it's all of Europe, and you have, like, Britain. The UK government fully supports a U.S. action, which we believe was an appropriate response to the barbaric chemical weapons attack launched by the Syrian regime. And intent. They're just furthering that narrative. In a joint statement, Germany and France, Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany and President Francois Hollande of France said that President Bashar al-Assad of Syria bears sole responsibility for the strike. See, they just dusted off an old, chemical, we'll get foaming mouth babies, and then we'll get our war. Is it that easy? You know,
Yeah, I mean, look at how they did the babies in the incubators back and whenever. I mean, all you need is a good atrocity story. You launch the thing. A friend of mine pointed out to me a long time ago that it doesn't even matter how thin all these lies are. It only matters that they work for a day, right? Yeah. The day that they lie to you, if enough people buy it, then that's all that counts. If everybody calls them out for being a liar in 3 days, too late. They already got away with the thing that they needed to lie to you about to get away with in the first place.
Yeah, and then
so
they'll
now
distract
it doesn't
you
matter. There's no accountability.
Then they'll change the lead on something else anyway. Change the lead. Right. Oh, yeah, you know, the lies were, it's not so much, you know, we're over here now.
I wonder why they even bother lying a lot of the times. Why don't they just go ahead and, it's sort of like, why torture an innocent guy into pretending that he's friends with Osama and Saddam when you can just make it up? Yeah, we got this guy that he's friends with Osama and Saddam. Instead, they torture some poor guy, you know? Say it. Admit it. You're friends with Saddam. Okay, fine. I'm friends with Saddam. Oh, he screams.
What,
you know?
What was this the most recent story? What was it? They had an insider saying something, and I can't remember what it was. And all I did was could think of was curveball. And I just took a curveball picture and put that as the graphic. I'm going, of course they got a guy. They always have a guy. They had a guy before. They got more guys. All right. I want to – here, wait a minute. Let me get ready for something. Here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Said it's all circling the drain, the whole universe. Said it's all circling the drain, the whole universe.
And, you know, that's from Riddick. And then his answer was, well, it had to end sometime. You know, I remember that scene. And he's doing, you know, have you not been hearing what I've been saying? He goes, yeah, the whole universe circling the drain, right? Well, it had to end sometime. And that's the feeling that you're getting. You know, I'm just going, yeah, this is what we've been building up to. Of course this is going to happen. Of course. It was the agenda of course. You know, you're going to have, we have the New York Times, which countries support and which oppose the U.S. missile strikes in Syria. All right, let me just give you kind of a taste here. You look at the globe, and you'll have, it's of course, NATO and Western, you know, it's Canada, U.S., Australia, Saudi Arabia, Turkey. You know, I don't know how, you know, Turkey gets in there. But the, you know, it's Britain and France and Germany and Italy and, you know, the kind of NATO. And opposition to it, shorter lists, like Russia, Iran, Syria. You know, China's like, hey, man, I don't even have an opinion. Now, they say China has played it neutral on the strikes, with Hua Shengying of the Chinese Foreign Ministry saying, we condemn the recent chemical attack in Syria, and we support the United Nations agencies to conduct an independent and comprehensive investigation. Sounds reasonable. Sounds reasonable. No. Israel. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said in a statement, President Trump sent a strong and clear message today that the use and spread of chemical weapons will not be tolerated. Israel fully supports President Trump's decision and hopes that the message of resolve in the face of the Assad regime's horrific actions will resonate not only in Damascus, but in Tehran, Penang, and elsewhere. See, that's what this is like. We want to demonstrate, ooh, we're going to whip ass. And this, they just needed an excuse to show that they would. And here comes the Chinese head, wanting to negotiate with and kind of trade deal North Korea. So this is, it reminds me of when Reagan would go on to do a news piece, and they had the satellite link. Now, those of you that had these big 10-foot satellite dishes, you could get that link that was going to the network. And I remember people taping this, and he goes, "Yep, missiles launched, details at 11, or something like that on Russia. Evelyn just is doing a mic check, and he's just being funny. Well, they're watching this, and he knew they were watching it. And it becomes the big news thing. Yeah, Reagan's crazy. Well, that was part of his strategy. Is this part of Trump's strategy? Is there something else going on, Scott?
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, the thing is, Donald Trump doesn't know anything about anything, except he likes being tough and playing toy soldier and whatever. So how does that translate? It translates to General Mattis, General McMaster, whatever you guys agree to explode, go explode it and see if I give a damn. I mean, what is he going to do except give them a blank check? Argue about it? In fact, I just saw on Twitter someone posted a picture of the big dinner last night that they had where Bannon is now banished to the end of the table. He was the anti-war guy, the anti-Semite. He hates Jews so much, apparently, that he's actually good on wars for Israel. So, shrug. That's as good as we could get. And yet he's marginalized because he's good on bombing Syria. So they say, Bannon, you go sit down at the end of the table and let the professionals handle this.
Okay, a joint statement from Germany and France. They just say, President Bashar al-Assad of Syria bears sole responsibility for the strike. This is the narrative that they keep hammering. All they got to do is have little babies, foaming mouth, dying, death and destruction. It's supposed to be a sarin gas thing. That's one thing that people pointed out. Sarin is by contact, man. You get a little drop of kind of something and nobody's wearing masks or, where's the white helmets again? I mean, it's all made up. And we're going to find out later, as we always do with these. It's not quite what they said it was. So, all right, we get to worry about China one of these days, Scott. I mean, seriously.
Well, I'm not worried about China. Why would I be worried about China?
Okay, why aren't you worried about China?
The only worry about China I have is the American Empire picking a fight.
Okay, why are you not worried about China?
Well, because 3,000 years or something, they've been an empire as big as they already are, and that's about it. I don't know. When was the Qin Dynasty? It's been forever since China was an expansionist state. And if they have eyes to see, and they can look at the Soviet Union and look at the United States, they would have to ask themselves, what benefit is it to them to create a military empire in the world, to try to challenge American hegemony in the world? That's not their plan. They're just trying, hell, their economy is a basket case enough as it is. They're just trying to get by right now and keep us out, maintain their independence. But there's no reason to think that they're determined on colonizing the planet or becoming the dominant hegemon and all that stuff. That's just projection.
No, they
That's just the Americans
wanna...
saying, what would we do if we were them?
They want to sell. So they got, fingers, spokes from the wheel of Eastern China manufacturing that's going all the way to Africa and Europe. And they're going, you go from Shanghai high speed rail now all the way to London. I mean, it goes, they go up the tunnel, here it comes. There are many more, and natural resources will flow, and the U.S. has been, and the British Petroleum, and the empires of whatever, the central banking of we rule you from the West, and European consolidation of will of yada, 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 is now coming up against an entire continent that includes
Russia
and China.
It doesn't cost you and me anything for the Chinese to get rich, but it costs the American Empire power and influence in Eurasia. Well, guess what? The American Empire is from America. What the hell are we doing trying to be the hegemon in Eurasia anyway?
We've always
the whole
been
thing
at
is
war
the
with
dumbest
Eurasia.
Thing in the world.
We've always been at war with Eurasia.
Yeah. Well, but you're right. And I think this is the greatest. This is truly the greatest plan that anyone has ever had, ever, to build to build this corridor of rail, highways, electricity, gas, and whatever from Shanghai to Lisbon. to connect the entire Eurasian continent. I mean, this is the future of humanity. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all brilliant. That's all wonderful. And all that means is Americans get better things at lower prices.
Oh, it's even more than that. This Hyperloop thing we're going to have next week, one of the pod contestants in that here from Arizona State group there. I am looking at, they call it Hyperloop 1. It looks like they're going to be opening it. They've already started building in India. So this, they're not waiting on the U.S. The U.S. and its regulatory kind of doing an ouch quit it of who gets a cut thing. America is a victim of its own success. There was such a bloated whale of resources here and profit and money and getting forced and dialed in retirement of we're going to put it in the stock market of you got it. And it's gone now. So we are going to be the sphincter of the world, and for every reason that's so obvious to anybody that pays attention to this stuff, and the rest of the world is modernizing. They're doing new, totally 25th century of Star Trek, here it goes, and we're going to be lagging behind because we got the biggest mud hook of everybody. It's just this anchor of bureaucracy we're dragging while they're just trying to make some money. And they're willing to bomb and steal and kill and what rape and murder and whatever to maintain it. And they got a company for it. You know, one of them is Teneo. And I'm just going, and they're invading the White House. And I'm going, what did you think was going to happen? You're still voting? You know, why do you think I would be so confident that, because it's always like this. And there's going to be another flare-up. You know, is it just Syria? We're going to settle this all on Syria? It's the plains of Syria? Armageddon moving down through Israel. I mean, you sit there and you look at the late great planet Earth, or you have the what was it? Hal Lindsey or something wrote the book on how we're going to have Armageddon play out. God, I remember reading that in early '80s, and I go, "Damn!" I'm sitting there watching it happen. Exactly the way they said it. Come down from Syria, they go through the plains of, and they go and they ouch quit it, and here it comes, and Israel sitting there, yay. We got the rest of the world. Where are you going to be? What are you going to do? And this doctoral guy, he goes, yeah, how's your fallout shelter? And I go, well, I'm in Phoenix. am I good? You know, am I going to be away? So what do we need to look for over this next week, Scott? What's going to transpire we got to be concerned about?
Well, I mean, the most important question, I think, is the next steps in Syria. I mean, Rex Tillerson says, yeah, Assad's got to go. Our policy is regime change and this and that. So does that mean we're, you know, how the question is how far they're willing to push that? Does that mean, you know, renewed increased support for CIA attempts to overthrow and back in the terrorists there? Or does it mean more airstrikes? I saw at least one trial balloon. I mean, it may have been a Western disinformation campaign or something, but at least supposedly it was a Russian trial balloon saying, we're not married to Bashar al-Assad, and maybe he should step down. So I guess it's possible that they could negotiate that, you know, keep the Ba'ath Party, but get rid of the current figurehead.
Why? I mean, to what end? To do what? So they can put in a McDonald's? I don't get it.
Well, as a basis to end the
war. Are you tired of brown rusting?
I'm sorry, what?
As a first step to end the war, because there are, you know, certainly the al-Qaeda groups and other groups absolutely will not stop fighting until he is gone. And so now I don't believe that they'll stop fighting until the Ba'ath state is gone. But at least that's the position that they're looking at now, is, you know, trying
really?
To stop the
how,
war.
How are we in Libya right now? How's stability in Libya? How's the government? How's life in Libya? How's Libya working out?
Libya's a disaster area. Libya is at least three or four states now and at war. The formerly CIA-backed guy, I think, is not the CIA-backed guy. The CIA was complaining that he's backed by the Russians now. And they were saying, yeah, it's true that we're supporting him. A guy named Haftar, who lived in Virginia for 30 years, just outside of Langley, Virginia, who the CIA parachuted in there in 2011, or in 2012, I guess, to try to be the new Gaddafi dictator after the you know, so-called democracy the U.S. installed quickly fell apart. And so he is in control of Benghazi in the east. And then you have a more Islamist-based government made from some of the veterans of al-Qaeda in Iraq, like this guy Belhaj, who was once kidnapped and tortured by the CIA for being a buddy of Osama's, who's now part of the government in Tripoli. And then there's a whole new government, a whole other separate kind of pseudo state in the South. And then they say, and I really don't know, but they say that there are hundreds of different militias fighting, that there's really no monopoly on force anywhere. The place is now the region, the land formerly known as Libya. There is no country there anymore. It was always a fake country. In fact, that's not a post-World War I artificial state. That's a post-World War II artificial state there in Libya that was only held together by first a king and then Gaddafi, and that's it. So now, you know, it was always clear once America intervened there that it was going to split at least into east, west, and south, if not more.
Hmm.
And then, so yes, that is 1,000 opportunities for more bombing by the U.S., more JSOC missions by the U.S. for years from here on out. And I'm sorry, I got to go because Tom Woods is about to interview me in just a second.
All right, cool. Bye.
All right, thanks, man.
Peace.
$0.35 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,265 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at 1.4 cents, and the average price of Bitcoin is $1,189. Antiwar.com reports the U.S. military began attacking Syria Thursday night after talking up the idea of unilateral military intervention throughout the day. Preliminary reports are that more than 60 Tomahawk missiles have been fired against various targets inside Syria. Russian Deputy Ambassador Vladimir Safronkov warned earlier in the day of negative consequences if the U.S. followed through on its threat to attack, and now that they have, the big issue is the potential fallout if any Russian military casualties are caused in the U.S. airstrikes. Syrian state media issued a statement in response to the U.S. attacks condemning American aggression and claiming unspecified losses as scores of U.S. missiles were fired at an airbase in the Homs province. Officials say they believe the U.S. strikes were meant to support the terrorists on the ground. U.S. officials are presenting the attacks as reprisal for an alleged gas attack by Syrian forces earlier in the week. The Syrian government has insisted they did not carry out any sort of chemical attack, but their conventional strike hit an Al-Qaeda arms depot, which it turns out contained chemicals, which caused a leak. Russian officials have offered a similar assessment of the incident. U.S., British, and French officials all issued a statement insisting immediately that Syria had carried out a chemical attack and have sought to look past a potential investigation into the matter, calling for immediate reprisals, which the U.S. ultimately carried out well before any investigation could even happen. Syrian and Russian officials aren't the only ones to make such an assessment either, with former CIA officer Philip Giraldi giving an interview also saying he doubted the U.S. narrative and that a lot of figures in the U.S. intelligence community are awfully nervous about the U.S. pushing their line as unquestioned fact, absent serious evidence. When you hear the word lobbyist, you probably think about greedy corporations, but not all lobbyists are the same. Some are fighting for the freedoms you hold dear. Liberty Lobby LLC is doing just that in New Hampshire, working hard to represent you, not some special interest group. You can help by going to libertylobby.info, where your contribution will give us the tools we need to ensure that your voice is heard. Visit libertylobby.info today to find out more. UPI reports YouTube announced on Thursday it is cracking down on fake news channels by no longer placing advertisements on them until they've reached 10,000 overall views. YouTube, which is owned by Alphabet Incorporated, also the parent company of Google, announced changes after several big companies pulled their advertising from the company because their ads were appearing with objectionable content. The online video service said the changes are designed to make sure channels are legitimate and not stealing content. YouTube is adding a review process for creators to join the YouTube Partner Program, which began in 2007. Ariel Barden, Vice President of Product Management, said in a statement, "After a creator hits 10,000 lifetime views on the channel, we'll review their activity against our policies. If everything looks good, we'll bring the channel into the YouTube Partner Program and begin serving ads against their content." Several advertisers, including Walmart, General Motors, JPMorgan Chase, Pepsi, Starbucks, and Johnson & Johnson, pulled out of YouTube after their ads appeared in extremist hate speech videos.